fun week in the news and social media in general, hasn't it? I was so glad I went away last week. Utterly horrific. And the thing is that all the horrific imagery that, you know, okay, it's the news, fair enough, you know. We tuned in, we should have known better. But social media too, you know, people kind of post stuff there that obviously has affected them, and no one's questioning that. It's just, sometimes it sort of feels like a bit much, doesn't it? You're scrolling through, like, oh, look, there's my cousin's kid on the beach. There's my brother-in-law go-karting. Oh, there's a dead child. How do you cope with that? Is it right to post that without any kind of a warning and stuff? Why don't we talk to Dr. Bex Lewis? She's a social media expert at Manchester Metropolitan University. I'm sorry, that's awful. Forgive me for that. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks very much for joining us this morning.
Okay.
Do you ever have that moment where you're sort of you're going through your social, your Facebooks or your Twitters or whatever, and then suddenly you're confronted with something utterly shocking?
Yeah. And I've been talking to some friends about it this week, and there's an almost universal desire for that not to happen, and a wish that the social media platform typically is the wish that people give, although, you know, mainstream media as well, will either not do it or will in some way mean that you have to make a choice. To see it, but in the same way as if you go to a big concert, you have a choice if there's strobe lighting, whether to go or not. And I think the thing that's really changed recently is the media, I think, already has quite a strong policy on what it's supposed to do, but we're now reliant more and more on user-generated content from you know, people like me who are out and about with my smartphone.
Yeah.
And there just seems to be this big rush to be the first person to put sort of hard-hitting images.
Yeah.
And that's, once you've seen it, you can't unsee it, can you?
Yeah. Well, I feel like we're sort of using, like, both the media and social media, we're kind of using dead and sick children as currency. I mean, is this okay?
I kind of struggle with it because it's difficult, isn't it? Because if you're thinking about sort of charities, they want to make a difference. And, you know, thinking back to kind of one of my friends was saying in the Vietnam War, they think that the public decision to end it was partly because of photos that were shared, you know, like the little girl running in the kind of acid rain. But I think we see so much, we're either kind of desensitized, and, you know, psychologists say we either become desensitized or oversensitized and traumatized. And it's a really well-known fact that people, you know, working in the emergency services and police, who kind of have to look at child abuse images and things like that, have long been known to suffer post-traumatic stress disorder by looking at these kind of things. And they're starting to say that we're starting to see that amongst the general public as well.
See, I totally agree. There's that sort of, there's the old cliche of people sort of saying, oh, my old granddad, you know, stuff he saw in the war, and he's never talked about it, never talked about it. We're all seeing it now. Like, we're all seeing what's happening on the front line, and what is that doing to us as a society?
Yeah, well, it's stressing us out. And, you know, my PhD was on Second World War propaganda posters, and the government went out of their way not to show distressing images of death because they said they've already seen enough. You know, we don't need to shove that kind of stuff. And there is a question about what the visual does. So, again, you know, when I tried to describe a poster and not show it in my thesis, everyone was like, I don't quite get it. And then as soon as you put it on image, people really get it, which is a good thing for posters, a bad thing for this kind of content.
Is that the problem? Are we so dumb that we haven't got the imagination to imagine what these awful things are?
I don't know. I think we see it in, you know, the kind of films that we see. You think there'd be plenty that we can see, and it's just, or maybe we've got too much imagination. And we've got a friend who was a journalist and was talking about putting a picture of a dead body on the front of a newspaper, and he said all you could see was the jacket of the guy who was under tarpaulin. He jumped off somewhere, and there was so much kickback from that. He said, I've never done it since. But I don't think the rest of us, we've not sat through all those media ethics lessons. and haven't really thought about what we'd do.
And it's kind of anything goes now. Alan Kurdi would be a good example of front pages, wouldn't it?
Yes.
The three-year-old Syrian boy.
It's whether, you know, how much of it is it focusing on, you know, the child or the faith or as a kind of symbolic icon. And I was thinking back to, I was speaking to you guys about the Westminster Bridge a couple of weeks ago, when there were people showing pictures of dead people there before the family had had time to see. And I was saying, I think we only seem to complain when it's kind of Western people. We don't seem to mind seeing Syrian children. So who's it okay to show dead? And should anyone be shown dead? Because I was speaking to another friend whose brother was beheaded, and she, not brother, her cousin, was beheaded and said the whole process was shown on YouTube and then the picture put on Facebook, and that no one should ever have to go through this. And obviously that's personal. But yeah. I think on a bigger level, we're all kind of struggling with that day by day in the 24-hour news cycle and the rush for everyone on social media to be the first.
So what do you think? What do you think? Yeah, go on. Well, do we police it, or is this about, should we be keeping our own counsel on this?
I think some of it is our own responsibility for thinking about it, and to a certain extent, social media has kind of regulated itself. But I think as we've got more automation in it, it's more difficult to ignore stuff that we don't want to see. And there's an argument, some people saying just because we don't want to see it doesn't mean we don't need to. But
isn't this, I feel like this is, there's a real element of machismo creeping into all of this. There's this real element of people saying, well, this is going on. You guys need to know about this. This is happening. Okay, face up to it. But the truth is, there's nothing we can do. So why should we see it? Like, if we can't act, I'm sitting in my lounge, what can I effectively do to stop a chemical attack in Syria?
Yes, apart from sort of public complaints, which I think we can do without having to see those pictures. And again, psychologists say people who feel empathy towards that image but are unable to do anything, that's where the trauma starts. And actually, we've really got to think about what are we exposing each other to, because it's people making these decisions, isn't it? I mean, the media wants the coverage. One of my friends called it, he said, basically, anything that says images are too horrific probably means they're looking for clickbait and just wants coverage, in which case they're probably the images that shouldn't be shown.
Absolutely. Yeah. I totally agree. Thanks very much for talking to us today. Really appreciate it.
Pleasure.
Thanks very much. That was Dr. Bex Lewis, social media expert at Manchester Metropolitan University. I got to say, I found this a really traumatising week, and I was traumatised enough by Bradley Walsh on The Nightly Show, and then you have the news. And fair enough, in the news, I guess, you know, if you opt into the news, then fine. But when people are using dead kids as thumbnails on catch-up services for the news, how is that okay? And I feel like the problem with this is that we sit there wringing our hands, and we desperately want someone to jump in. We want someone to say, I'll take care of this. And so then you reach a point where Donald Trump steps in, and many people are saying, it's in the papers today, that he may have done it just as a result of social media, as a result of his daughter Ivanka posting about the Syrian bomb attack, him sort of saying, right, well, I'm going to take care of this, I'm just going to go and bomb something. And the trouble is that then you find sort of more liberal people sort of saying, do you know what, I agree with Donald Trump here, I think that's a good idea, because somebody has to do something. I feel like this feeds into everything, like the judicial system. The reason we have the sort of court system of justice, right, is because, someone you love has been killed by someone else. You have every right to say, I would like to now go and punch that person until they resemble pate. And the point of the judicial system is to say, I totally hear you. I totally get that. I understand. What we're going to do, though, is go through a process in a more objective way, and then we're going to come to a resolution, and we're going to make sure that, you know, there's justice, but that it's not done in a fit of emotion and passion. It's done fairly and properly by a sort of structured process. And the problem is, when you've got this media coverage, that's feeding people like Donald Trump with power, who are then inevitably going to have that kind of emotional reaction, or they're going to bow to that pressure from the populace. I just don't know if we need to see this stuff. I think it's cheap.